I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
David Buchanan.
Okay, so I'm so excited to talk to Amy Kobabe about this, Dave. She's doing a special for this Saturday. It airs 4 o'clock p.m. Of course, it's conference weekend this weekend. We will be airing conference, all sessions of conference starting at 10 o'clock Saturday morning, 4 p.m. Swiping Left on Danger, How the Dating World Has Changed. And so she is doing a full hour on online dating.
I love this. I'm a little jealous because I think I would have loved online dating back in the day. I think I would have loved it. I think I would have dominated it. I think I would have been great at it because it was very, very difficult to just walk up to a girl and ask her out. That is scary. And I'm like not
I didn't know
a
that.
Wimp. I'm not afraid to go talk to people, but that was still something that it was hard. It would be far easier to swipe. Oh, we matched. Boom. And then you start up a conversation. It seems like the easiest possible dating. It feels like a date cheat code.
Amy.
That's because you haven't done it, Dave.
Hey, right? That's exactly. I think this is the hardest way of dating. It's so difficult, in fact, that I stopped.
You're not
alone. Stopped in January. I'm like, I'm done. I'm just done. I'll just be single the rest of my life. This is working out well for me anyway. So So Amy, take it away.
Yeah, burnout is a really big issue that a lot of people using dating apps have. So the research shows that dating apps are now the number one way that people meet. So about half of college students in Utah, this was a couple years ago, were using dating apps. I imagine that number has grown since the pandemic when, you know, you couldn't, there weren't even classes that you could go to at BYU or at the U to meet someone. You had to basically try to find them online. And so, mutual friends and meet cutes and meeting at church or at school really is kind of the old-fashioned mode of dating. But there are a lot of roadblocks still that people are running into where they're expecting, just like you said, Dave, for it to be really easy. But what they're finding is they're getting ghosted. That's where you're just ignored.
Catfished. Where the person isn't who they say they are.
Or targeted as a victim of some crime, right? And so there are a lot of issues that people have to deal with, all while just trying to find someone to love them. And so there's a few things. People in Utah are actually, what I found was there's growing popularity for things. I don't know if you've watched the Netflix specials on matchmaking, but that's mm-hmm. growing in popularity
yeah.
here in Utah.
Where it's more fine-tuned. Where you hire somebody to find you somebody to love you.
What?
And to love
me.
Yes, that's
we're going back old school.
Yeah.
Matchmaking.
I've heard this. In fact, a friend and I was talking to me about a year ago that she was contacted, I think, by a matchmaker.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So matchmakers, where people are paying a lot of money, thousands of dollars mm-hmm. for someone. A part of it is really to just have someone say, hey, let's change your hair. Let's get a haircut.
Consultants.
It's basically a dating consultant. And then they have access to all sorts of people who've signed up in their kind of online portal to go on dates and to be set up with people with this matchmaker.
So Amy Kobabe in studio with us right now, this Saturday at 4 o'clock, Swiping Left on Danger, How the Dating World Has Changed.
you spoke to a couple who met online, right?
Yeah. So a couple that lives now in Woods Cross, but they have kind of an interesting start. He was here in the U.S. going to school, not from the U.S. He's from India. She is from here in Davis County. And the kind of couple that would not have met if not for dating apps. And they met, and I talked to the husband. His name is Rupak Kumar, and he talked a lot about how it really was a struggle for years, but eventually he became grateful for that.
And I met her, and then, you know, after being in that 5 year of our marriage, like, I often think back and tell myself, like, I'm so glad that those relationships did not work. I'm just so glad that either they denied me or I denied them. I'm just so glad it didn't work. Yeah, I was sad, frustrated, but I don't think so. They would have loved me the way Brooke loves me.
That's pretty darn sweet. I
mean, that was a really positive way to look at what can become a really draining and negative and sometimes scary experience being online.
Absolutely.
Dating.
Absolutely. And I spoke to a dating coach, someone who is a licensed therapist, a mental health counselor, who is made their entire job just helping people date and navigate this world. And she said that that really is the goal, is to get them to kind of, you know, on that yellow brick road with a couple, and doing online dating is really how it's done. And so she has to help them kind of navigate that world, and a lot of people, she says, are successful at it. They're finding their person.
What are some of the pitfalls? And I'm not talking about the extreme pitfalls of real danger, predatory behavior. What are some of the pitfalls of online dating?
So one thing that this dating counselor said was people, they finally get to a first date. You know, they've been talking, they swiped on each other, they're talking a little bit, they get on the first date, and they're expecting the entire world on that first date. They're expecting to have this feeling, to just know if they're the one. And she says, that has never been the case on a first date. Yeah. That's just not how it works. But when we talk about, if we're in a relationship, when we talk about it, we're like, oh, we just knew, or, oh, I'm so glad I found this person. And it's really not helping people who are meeting a total stranger, you know, at a coffee shop or getting ice cream, to just get to know each other. And so she said that really getting past that first date, especially when you have, you know, a list of people lined up in your phone that still want to meet with you and talk with you, is really difficult for a lot of people. And they never get maybe past that first date.
So the other thing too, just my experience, and Amy, you have a lot more information for us and experiences when you talk about this on Saturday afternoon, is the revolving door of first dates.
Absolutely.
Gets to be a drain. It's a drain of just no more coffee, please, you know.
And no more frozen yogurt.
And it's also, and while it can be a drain, you can look at it from a positive thing, like, at least I get to meet somebody new. Usually it's literally a revolving door. They're in your life for that 30 minutes or an hour, and then they're out of your life.
Yep.
And you have to spend that time kind of explaining who you are and what you're all about. And I've got 56 years of history, so that's a long conversation, you know. So it just gets to be, you know, you hope you can end up like the Kumar family.
Yes.
The Kumar couple found each other, you know, over a dating app and are living happily ever after, it sounds like.
Yeah, they are. One way you can think about this, if you haven't experienced it, is imagine trying to use LinkedIn to find your best friend. And that's all you have. And that's all you're using is LinkedIn. And you're trying to find one of the most important relationships, maybe the most important relationship of your life.
Yeah.
And
wow,
it's going to be pretty difficult.
That's
to
a great
that.
Analogy. That's a great way. Because you mentioned LinkedIn.
Can we
LinkedIn,
talk to... Oh, I'm sorry, Deb.
What's that?
I thought you were wrapping up. I totally interrupted you. But
no,
I just wanted to know. Did you talk to a matchmaker?
I did. I spoke to a professional matchmaker who talked me through the process and has found a lot of success and a lot of people that have come to her. And she also works with a dating counselor and someone that she sets them up with to kind of help them through some of these roadblocks that people run into. And she still encourages people to use online dating because she says it's the best way to just up your chances of finding someone.
What else will you deliver for our listeners when when your report airs at 4 o'clock on Saturday.
4 o'clock on Saturday. Really, if you have been part of this, if you've used online dating, you're going to find some solutions and some ways to, you know, just feel like you're seen. If you haven't, okay, it's going to be a great eye opener of, you know, what your kids or your grandkids are going through.
Yes.
And maybe how you can help them and be a support to them.
I love that, because like Dave said, I'm not online dating. And you said, but your kids are. Your kids are. Or they will be.
You got to do it all. As soon as my daughter gets home from her mission, it's like, we got a matchmaker lined up. We've got online dating. And then you're going to hang out at football games. So we're going to do everything.
Home Depot.
They're not there either. All right.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.